This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
It is Power Lunch on Power 98.7, and we're talking diamonds, getting to know your diamonds, these exquisite gemstones, renowned for not only their dazzling brilliance, and I've got some in front of me, and that's the first thing I see. They are dazzling and brilliant in the definition of the word. But also, diamonds are loved for the intricate qualities that define their uniqueness and their value. At the heart of understanding diamonds lies the renowned four C's: cut, color, clarity, and carat. And I don't know that because I'm an expert. I know that because I did my research just before this conversation. The experts are in studio with me. Nungu Diamonds founder, Kialeboga Pule. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
And Nungu Diamonds creative director, Ursula Pule. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having us.
Well, these are just beautiful pieces that you've brought in today. Tell us a little bit more about Nungu Diamonds. We've heard of you, we've seen you on our screens, and we followed you. But give us a bit more insight into why even start in the business of diamonds.
Ooh, it was an interesting question. It was all ambition, okay, to be honest with you. I mean, I was
blind ambition in the beginning.
I was 23, something
23.
Like that.
23.
Quite young. Yeah. Just finished my law degree at the time. Mm. Knew that I didn't want to practice law. Mm. I was fascinated about the diamond industry. Mm. I was introduced by people that were in the business. Mm. I was fortunate to be mentored by somebody who, you know, God's grace, the guy took me through all that I had to know about the diamond business. I got to meet people from the state diamond trader where we buy rough diamonds from the regulator and so on. We then started in the rough diamond trading space. Mm. And in 2017, my wife and I decided we're going to pivot and sell diamond jewelry, yeah, in a very special type of way where people come in and they look at, you know, polished diamonds. We tell them about where the diamonds are mined and how the cut and polishing process goes. And ultimately, we make them something amazing that they get to wear and understand that what they're wearing is part of our heritage. That's how we sell the diamonds we sell.
That's extraordinary. I mean, if you could give us a sneak peek into what a possible story may be, how is this diamond a part of our legacy?
Oh, man, I like to say this all the time. Mm-hmm. Just like how the avocados that people eat that come from Limpopo,
yeah,
we have a diamond mine in Limpopo that's owned by De Beers. Mm. Now, it doesn't become any more personal than that. You know, I'm trying to draw an analogy there to say these diamonds are as part of who we are as anything else that is South African. They were found the first time in South Africa in 1888 by De Beers, and they've been mined here ever since. Mm-hmm. And Nungu Diamonds is coming in to tell a very different story about diamonds, right? They've been known as this thing that is for, it's the preserve of others and not quite for black people. And coming in as young, black, dynamic people, coming in to say it can be part of what we also do. We're experts in this space, just like how the other, you know, other counterparts who are not black are the same. And we've traveled the world. We know how, you know, where these diamonds ultimately end up. People talk a lot about how beneficiation is what government talks about.
Yeah.
Cutting and polishing has to happen here. Mm. It's not happening at the rate it should be.
Right. Mm.
But we're coming in to say that should change. Mm-hmm. But it has to be catalyzed by some people.
Yeah.
And we're taking on that responsibility as Nungu Diamonds.
And I imagine that face needs to be quite specific as well. And that's where you come in. All right. Can we talk about getting to know our diamonds, right? I alluded to the four C's. Is there anything before that that we need to know, like where the diamond even comes from?
Absolutely. I feel like I'm stealing my wife's spotlight. What is most important for us is that that's the first thing you need to know.
Sure.
65% of all diamonds that are sold around the world come from the African continent, which means we're a major player. Botswana is the biggest diamond producer in both carats and value.
Okay.
South Africa used to hold that prestigious title. Mm. We no longer hold it. But there's still rough diamond reserves under a lovely earth that is yet to, you know, some are yet to be discovered. So it starts there first.
Yeah.
The diamonds come from here.
Mm.
And we ought to celebrate that and then say, How do we convert that? Not just by way of turning them into amazing jewelry, but there's also the job creation element.
Exactly.
There's also the
who polishes and, them, and where they're polished.
Absolutely, absolutely.
What, you know, even in the sense of the gender, because sometimes there's always, you know, the entire diamond industry is male dominated. Mm. So from the mining the polishing to the jewelry making, it's all males. But that's not true. A good majority of the people in our factory are women. They polish diamonds as well, and that's a family, right? So in buying a diamond, you should actually think, yes, it's, I mean, it's obviously amazing to wear.
Sure.
Yes,
but if you take it into account that you're actually putting a roof over people's heads, putting food in stomachs, clothes on children's backs, you are going beyond just the sparkle, but now you are also looking at, you know, other generations that are coming in that are provided for by the diamond industry. And that's why we need to grow it here, being a producer country as well, is because it will do that for more of those kinds of people. Because just before COVID, we bled a lot of polishers because, you know, some companies obviously closed down. It wasn't great. And now if you think about us taking it on to say, let's consciously come in and purchase from the industry, not just because it's fancy, but literally because we are rebuilding an industry, rebuilding workers, giving people a livelihood.
So perhaps that's the fifth C, consciously moving
into
the space.
Nice.
I love that.
Yeah.
You can hire me.
It's okay. No.
You've got the job.
You've got the job. Bill us. Bill us at the end of it.
All right, so the four C's. Cut, color, clarity, carat of diamonds. Yeah. How do these influence the overall quality and price, if you can go through them?
So okay.
You want to go
because this is where I come in, right?
Okay.
So when we have our consultation with our clients, so whether it's for an engagement ring, which is mostly the case, or even jewelry like what is in front of you now, it's more of taking them through what they actually would like. So somebody would come in, either they've given you a price they want to pay or just a picture.
Yeah.
And with that, now you would take them through to say, okay, looking at the picture that you have and looking at the amount of money that you would want to spend, let us look at what would mostly affect the price. So carat weight, a 1 carat diamond versus half a carat, of course, there is a...
So that's weight.
That's weight.
That's the weight.
That
the
is the carat. That is the weight. So yes, that does affect the price. But you could have 10 1 carats and they're all differently priced because now that's where the color and the clarity come in. So those are also the biggest pushes and pulls when it comes to where we land in terms of price. So sometimes someone might come in and say, oh, 1 carat is going to be terribly expensive. But it's a 1 carat what?
Yeah.
So now that's where your color, so now from D to Z come in, and then that's where your clarity, so from IF, which is internally flawless, to your I3, which is heavily included to the third degree.
Okay, you're going to have to break down all of those terms for me. So from D to Z, that was about
color.
That's
color.
And what are we looking at?
Yeah.
With the naked eye, what can I see?
So with the naked eye, you will see basically a much whiter, more water color. Very clean stone. And then as we move down the letter scale, basically, now you're looking at a more yellower in tint diamond.
Okay.
So I like to call it warmer. Some people don't like yellow stones, but I think the warmer tone can work depending on how you want to set it, the metal you're setting it in. So for instance, my favorite obviously is, as you can see, yellow gold. I think it's had a bad rep. That one is white gold though.
Yes.
Yeah, but the rest are yellow gold. It's had a bad rip because of, you know, the rings our moms used to wear, but set well with the right diamond in the right design, it's
so
actually very pretty. So the one thing is, when you do go warmer with your stone, then you do find a situation where you can set it very nicely in a rose gold or a yellow gold, and your price won't blow the bank, because also the whiter you go, the higher your price. So, you know, it's like, if you think about it, with buying diamonds, it's you've got little levers and you can either push up or down to get to a price that you're comfortable with, also in a carat weight that you're happy with.
Because that is brilliant.
We like to say in the business that there's a diamond for every dollar.
Yes.
You know, if you're looking to spend 10,000 rand, there's a diamond for that.
Yep.
2 million rand is a diamond for that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, you can be accommodated based on
the
color, clarity combination.
Within reason.
Within reason.
What do you mean?
So sometimes you find someone that comes in and says, okay, so I want a 2 carat stone.
Mm.
yes, at the end of the day, it is a two-carat stone. So no matter how much we push and pull, you will still be dealing with a larger carat weight.
Okay.
So that one, you will not go below 100,000 rand, even no matter how hard you push on your colors and clarities.
Okay.
Otherwise, you're just going to end up with a stone you don't want to present to anyone because it's not attractive, you know?
Yes.
So it's those kinds of things where we say within reason. So you come in and you say, okay, fine, I want a 2-carat. And we tell you, okay, first off, 100,000 rand, that's your base price. From there, then we can play around because you can get a 2-carat that's half a million rand.
Yeah.
You can get a 2-carat that's 120,000 rand.
Depending on the color, clarity, scale.
Combination. And then the last one, which is the cut, right? So the cut is then your shape. So you have your round cut, your emerald cut. I wear a radiant cut. So there's different cuts that also now affect the price. I think rounds in general are slightly more expensive, if I can say that, than the fancy shapes.
Yeah.
So the non-rounds are called fancy shapes.
Okay.
So those are fancy cuts.
Right.
And I love fancy cuts because they really don't get their spotlight. You know, rounds, yes, they're brilliant and sparkly, but you do get cuts like radiants and princesses that are so sparkly.
I love that you just take off your rings to show to me.
So that one would be a radiant cut.
A radiant cut.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, this is beautiful.
It radiates.
Hang on, what am I looking at here? Because this is beyond the diamond sparkling.
Yes.
This is everything inside that's also reflecting
so that
and
is
sparkling.
That's all the faceting that goes into it. So again, I love to ask my clients, what do you want from your ring? Do you want obviously a ring that is identifiable from across the room in size? Or do you want, when you wave, someone's like catching the light, you know? So
that's what this does.
Yes, exactly.
Because the diamond polishing process is basically adding facets to a rough stone. So those facets are like mirrors.
Little mirrors in the stone.
So depending on how well you do it,
wow,
the way the light refracts inside the diamond, in and out of the diamond, that's why you're seeing all of that spark.
Yeah.
It's like a mirror ball.
Yes.
But an elevated mirror ball.
Yes.
Talk to me then, if we're talking about an industry of individuals who are expert in that kind of shaping, how long does it take? What's the, the process of learning how to be an expert?
We've been in the business now since 2013.
Mm-hmm.
So what, 11 years now?
It's 11 years this year.
And we're still learning.
Yeah.
You know? So because every diamond is individual. Mm. So, you know, there's no such thing as, I know guys who are in their 70s who are still seeing certain diamonds, sizes and colors for the first time.
Amazing.
So it's a process of learning. But if you were to learn how to basically polish a decent diamond, I mean, I think it has to take you two years. I mean, I would say 2 years for you. And this is you working at a reputable factory where you get to work with a lot of different shapes.
Yeah.
Let's understand the difference between natural diamonds and now lab-grown diamonds and then synthetic diamonds.
So the lab-grown diamonds are the man-made stuff. My wife is more the sciencey,
lab-grown and synthetic the same?
They're both man-made.
Got it.
Yeah, they're both man-made. I think the process of the lab-grown diamonds is different from the synthetic ones in a way. I haven't really delved into it much, but I've come to understand, obviously, there are differences with the synthetics. You have cubic zirconium, which is much, much more fragile.
Is that a diamond?
No.
No.
Cubic is not a diamond at all. Yeah. The lab-grown is grown from a diamond, so they use a natural diamond as a seed to then grow the lab-grown one.
I understand. Yeah. They are children's stem toys, I'm sure you've seen, that you can build crystals. I wonder if it's a similar kind of thing, that you need to put the specific ingredients,
and then
through a scientific process in a lab, it becomes what it becomes.
Yeah, then it becomes.
But now, is that a diamond?
it's a diamond in as far as it's carbon makeup.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
It's very similar to
molecular. You can go down to its molecular structure.
Okay.
You know, so there's obviously the, you know, even if you go in as far as they say the crystal lattice of the diamond.
Yes.
So what makes the diamond as hard as it is, very similar.
DNA of the diamond.
Yeah.
But it's cloning.
Basically.
That's exactly where my mind goes. That's a similarity.
Exactly. Yeah.
So then what happens to the price?
So this is I like giving this context just so that people understand. So in 2018, we were in Las Vegas at a trade fair, and De Beers launched what at the time they called
it's a
brand name called Lightbox.
Yeah.
This is a jewelry range of lab-grown diamonds. And at the time, the decision was every lab-grown diamond is to sell for $800 per carat. I'm speaking to price.
Okay.
The decision there was to say we need to control the price point of lab-grown diamonds.
Okay.
Because all lab-grown diamonds, regardless of color and clarity, are made the same.
Yeah.
So it costs the same to make one. So there's no difference in... As an example, if you say you are mining a real diamond, all the capital cost that goes into mining a real diamond, a lab-grown diamond, it's not the same. You just put them in a microwave, in a sense, and you create one. So the thinking there was $800 per carat across the board. But how the market understood that was to mean De Beers is endorsing lab-grown diamonds.
Mm.
The guys who exploited that and began selling lab-grown diamonds at $4,000 per carat, $6,000 per carat. In truth, a lab-grown diamond has got no resale value. So once you've paid that money, your money is gone.
Mm.
And unfortunately, today, people are beginning to learn this lesson.
Mm.
Today, a lab-grown diamond is sold for $99 per carat, which speaks to how it is that the value has diminished in a very short space of time.
I'd imagine it is not a precious stone.
It is not.
It cannot be defined as one.
It cannot be defined as one.
Okay, so when we're looking at the real thing, the real deal from Nungu Diamonds, what are some key factors or even certifications to look for us to verify the authenticity and the quality of a diamond?
First point of call, every diamond you buy, particularly those above half a carat, they ought to come with a certificate.
Mm.
The certificate house that we prefer is called the Gemological Institute of America.
Mm.
It's an internationally recognized body that grades diamonds.
Okay.
They also have a grading certificate for lab-grown diamonds, but it's a different color certificate. So you can distinctly tell the difference between what a lab-grown diamond certificate is and a natural diamond certificate is. And GIA also informs you about all the other characteristics of the diamond.
Yeah.
Is it, if it's a treated diamond, GIA does not certify it.
Mm-mm.
So what you need to find is a source where you can buy your polished diamonds with a certificate that has all of those disclosure elements.
Mm-hmm.
In this way, you know you're buying the real thing.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so that's good to know. Mm. Common treatments or enhancements, what's applied to the diamond and how does that affect the value and durability of the diamond?
We were talking about that just yesterday.
Yeah. So the funny thing is, I think people, you know, would like, for instance, when it comes to the black diamond. So that's the one that's mostly because you don't mine a black diamond. I mean, they used to back apparently some years ago, there were diamonds that came out of the ground black.
Mm-hmm.
At current, not so much. So the majority of black diamonds are heat treated, like 1,400 degrees or something like that, just so that they basically burn the carbon in it to turn it black.
Okay.
I think that's the most layman explanation.
Yeah.
So basically then that blackens the stone.
And you'd want to do that because?
Because sometimes it's just not an attractive stone. So
It's heavily included.
So inclusions are basically black dots that you can find in diamonds. They are the imperfections or, you know, the bad manners.
So they've created a way to mask those imperfections, but in a way celebrate the imperfections by creating something new.
Exactly.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So that would do what then to price?
So to the price
and value.
The price and the value then go down.
Yeah.
Obviously, because it's been tampered with. You know, it's
for as long as it's not natural, the price should be much, much less.
Yeah. How does Jennifer Lopez's 14th pink diamond become a pink diamond? Is that from the ground?
Oh, that's from the naturally mined.
Yeah.
And the canary yellow one?
You can, all
natural
of them.
Diamond.
So you can mine them. So the blue ones, the red ones that are so rare, there's also green. So those can be mined as
incredible.
is. you will find situations where some people do then. There's also a treatment that can be done to certain diamonds to make them yellower or pinker, you know. But the thing is, they're treated. So the color will, the price will also then diminish because they are, as a matter of fact, treated.
So what are you showing me now? So is this what comes out of the ground?
A natural blue
diamond.
Blue diamond mined from the ground.
So we were invited to go and have a look at that by one of the mining companies.
So that's a natural blue
diamond. That's a special piece. I think it was a 14 carat.
How much are you holding in your hand here?
$2 million.
And so then from a piece like this, because this looks like, again, very layman's, but this looks like a rock, like
a small stone,
right?
What you're looking at is a rough diamond.
Okay, yes. So from this rough, how do you decide that this one will go become a pendant, or get cut into an engagement ring?
So the process is quite a detailed one. At the beginning, there's this piece of equipment, we call it the galaxy machine.
Okay.
It helps you map the inclusions in the diamonds first, right? So you need to know what purity the stone is going to ultimately fetch. And then there's a machine called the Seren machine, where you put the diamond inside and then determine what shape will best come out of the diamond while you're thinking about what price you're trying to fetch in the market.
Right.
So the machine will give you multiple options, a round cut, an emerald cut, and then you then do your calculations to say, if I am to manufacture an emerald cut, am I making money?
Yeah.
Or am I losing money? Should I go for round instead?
And also, my love, you're missing something. So especially with the color diamonds, you need to be careful what you polish it into, right?
Absolutely.
Because it's the saturation of the color. So you can actually deepen the color with a certain kind of cut polish.
Yes, absolutely. Mm.
Or you can basically lose and bleed color when you look at it.
So you have to be careful. Expert-oriented process.
Mm-hmm. But you're mentioning machines. Mm-hmm. So there's tech involved in this
And all of this tech you ought to have if you are to manufacture the type of diamonds that are world standard and the type of quality that can sell anywhere in the world. So after you decide the shape, the color, and the color would be a given.
Yeah, the color would be a given.
The color is a given.
But then the clarity.
Then you also chase the clarity, and then ultimately that combination becomes how you then decide this is the type of shape.
Incredible. Finally, let's get some guidance on diamond care and maintenance. How do you preserve your brilliance here in your beautiful diamond ring?
So it's pretty simple, really. So diamonds are diamonds. Nothing can happen to it. Unless, for instance, I always tell my clients, do not use lotions and stuff like that with your diamond, except if you're not home. Reason being, they do stick to the diamond, and then the diamond begins to look dull. And then some people are like, but my diamond is, you know, looking a bit cloudy. And you're like, because you've been putting lotion on it. So I always suggest when you get home, you have a lovely Nungu Diamonds box. Please put your ring in your box. Do your cooking, cleaning, everything. Before you leave the house, put it on. Keep it on till you get back home.
Tell me why you wouldn't take it off when you're not home.
Because obviously you don't want to leave it on a table somewhere.
Listen, my worst nightmare is washing your hands and then
in a public restroom
into the drain. Oh,
that's why you have to come to Nungu and get your ring fitted, because that's
the sizing issue.
Yeah, that's right? That's definitely a sizing issue, and obviously in some cases where there's wear and tear on the claws, that's when now you get diamonds that pop out.
Yes,
and again, that's overwearing. That's doing too many things with your ring. For instance, chlorine in most household cleaning products over time can wear down on your claws, and that's where your stone pops out. So that's why, again, don't clean with your ring, because you will wear it down and you don't know, and then the next thing you come, Nungu Diamonds, you see my stone popped out, and you're just like, okay, let's see.
So the etiquette is to wear it less.
The etiquette is to wear it less and as needed. Because at the end of the day, what you're risking is your diamond. Mm. Your metal is metal. Metal will break down over time and so on. And that's why we say once every 6 months, bring in your ring. We clean it for you. We check your claws. We check the stability that we're still together. And then, you know, you can wear it again. Because you have eternity bands, for instance, where the edge of the diamond is exposed. Now, that can actually cut into your main ring. And then that also now creates, you know, a situation where you could lose stones. So there's so many things where people need to ask questions.
Sure.
So that you get to understand why something is happening. And then you say, okay, fine, I love this design, but if this is going to happen because my everyday job makes my rings,
my
rings rub together, then maybe I need a different wedding band.
How do we find you? Nungu Diamonds.
We are on Instagram.
LinkedIn.
At Nungu Diamonds.
Okay. Yeah.
And everywhere else.
LinkedIn, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. Okay, I see Twitter. X.
And we have a beautiful website, www.nungu-diamonds.co.za. That's where you can find all the amazing stuff we sell.
You know, I have always regarded diamonds as this very special, almost otherworldly, grown up thing to have in your life. But I think once you start having an understanding of the story, of the science, of what goes into it, it makes it even more special.
So
thanks for coming to articulate that for us.
It's been a pleasure.
From Nungu Diamonds, we have founder Gyalebogo Pule and Nungu Diamonds creative director Ursula Pule getting to know diamonds on Power Lunch.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.